Remember that the tomb is empty and we worship a living Savior. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And today we celebrate His resurrection. I extend a welcome to all of you. If you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. And we're so pleased that you've chosen to worship with the Asbury family. I encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads provided. I call your attention to the announcement section. Wednesday night, the Now program resumes this Wednesday, supper at 5:30, and then the program's Bible study to follow. And then Asbury has talent. There's information in there about that. It's a fundraiser for our missions and outreach. It's a lot of fun and good fellowship, good entertainment. So come and try and be a part of that. Also, I want to take a moment to thank Laura Stinnett and all of the volunteers yesterday on the Children's Festival, the Easter Egg Hunt. And they had a ball. They had the petting zoo. And we had a lot of families from the surrounding neighborhoods. It was a good time. And I really appreciate everything they did to make it successful. So when you see Laura and the volunteers, be sure and thank them for that. Let's take a moment and greet one another. the call to worship. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels, exalt all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Thank you. girls. Do you know what today is? Easter. 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 What reminds us of Easter?
You
hunt Easter eggs. What else? And find them. What else? Jesus, thank you. And you can have candy pie. Never had candy pie. Katie? Yes, the Easter Bunny comes and gives us presents. One thing that someone said was the Easter egg. Yes, he does. Maybe Easter egg? So let's see what this Easter egg, why it reminds us of Easter, okay? The Easter egg reminds us of new life. Do you know? Not an Easter bunny. Hold on just a second. We're going to find out what's in it because you're going to be surprised what's in it, okay? Now, have you ever been on an Easter egg hunt? All of you went on the Easter egg hunt yesterday, right? Okay. Okay, well, those of you that didn't, we went on the Easter egg hunt. You did. They got lots to say, y'all. Okay. When a mother egg when a hen sits on Easter eggs, guess what happens after a few weeks? What do you think? They crack. And what comes out? A baby chicken. So that's new life, right? So a new life comes out of something. Like when Jesus went to the grave and he came out and he wasn't there anymore, right? He gave us new life. Now, what I'm going to show you is this morning I have what's called an Easter egg, and I'm going to call this a real egg, Seth. When you open it, what's in it? Nothing, right? It's empty. So guess what? This reminds me of Easter because when Jesus' followers went to the tomb, was he there? No, he wasn't there. It was empty. Right, so an angel was there, and listen to what the angel said. The angel said, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. The grave is empty. Jesus isn't here. He's alive. And because he's alive, we too can have new life in him." Okay, so let's say our prayer. Larissa? I'll let Larissa say our prayer for us. So all of you are going to remember when we open this egg, right, and it's empty, it's going to remind us of Easter, right? Yes.
Dear Lord, today we celebrate the empty grave. We thank you that Jesus is not in the grave. He has risen, and because of that, we can have new life in him. Amen.
Okay, now everybody, we're going to follow all of here, and we're going to go sing for the other service, okay?
They need just a little more sugar. About one more Easter egg, that ought to pretty much. As we prepare our hearts and minds for prayer, I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in your bulletin, and we have an addition this morning. Would you please add Olive Kaufman to your prayers? Little Olive is in Arkansas Children's Hospital. And let's keep her in our thoughts and prayers this week. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, the giver of life, in your great love for each and every person, everywhere, in all times, you sent your only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He was born into a broken world and brought the hope of salvation. He preached to the world about repentance and the coming kingdom of heaven. He healed the sick. And just when the world suspected him to rise to greatness, he was crucified. And it was Friday, and the world was in darkness. And now this morning, we hear the words, "The tomb is empty. He is risen." It was Friday, but Sunday came. May the whole world be surprised by the resurrection and this promise of new and eternal life. Our prayer is that the resurrection seep into every crack and crevice of this world, to overcome every evil thing. And may the risen Christ reign in every downtrodden heart, every victimized soul, every sinner's being, and in all creation. With our eyes focused on the lilies, their beauty this morning, guide our timid eyes to the cross, where there were once tears of sorrow and now joy. Holy Father, we're reminded that there is no stone heavy enough to bottle up the good news, no burial shroud tight enough to contain your compassion, and no darkness powerful enough to withstand the radiance of the promise of resurrection. This morning we celebrate the gift of life and light that you've given us in our risen Savior. Grant us the grace to accept both the cost and the joy of following you. And as we leave this place today, remind us that we have a story to tell. Our story is the resurrection story. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. No matter how many Fridays we have, Sunday always comes. And may we go to make a difference in the world. We offer our prayers in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. On this beautiful morning, this joyous morning, we celebrate God's generosity and God's grace. But before they celebrated the first Easter, there was fear. The women wondered who would roll away the stone that sealed Jesus' grave. There are many in the world today who wonder who will roll away the stone, the big stones of hunger, lack of shelter, lack of clothing, the stones of the fear of facing tomorrow. Who will roll away these stones? We will. We will through our gifts of time and talent and resources. We will roll away the stone. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this Easter day. We hear the good news of the empty tomb, and we thank you now and always for rolling away the stone so that we may be your people. We ask that you bless us and these gifts. Enable us to roll away the stones to offer a new life and new opportunities to a hurting world. We pray this in the loving name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Victory to thee, Lord. Easter people, raise your voices, hymn 304.
What a joyous morning. What a joyous morning. Happy Easter. I want to try something. Okay, I'm going to say, Christ is risen. And I want you to respond, Christ is risen indeed. And when I say, Alleluia, I want you to say, Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Amen. And let us read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning,
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Imagine you're in a dark, dark room. So dark that if you put your hand in front of your face, you won't be able to see it. And then suddenly, a small flame emerges and starts to glow brighter and brighter and brighter until it illuminates the entire room and you can see everything in it. Imagine silence, total silence. No words said. Not hearing the air conditioning flowing, even though it may be minimal this morning. No rush of a heartbeat you hear pounding against your chest, just silence. But then you slowly start to hear a single bell being rung over and over as it gets louder and louder. And expands in all directions. And soon, it increases and it develops a rhythm. And with it, people begin shouting and singing from that great psalm, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you can imagine, after these shouts and after these singing, shouts of Alleluia are ushered up to the heavens. Imagine, if you will, the lasting image of Jesus dead before your eyes, lifeless, no breathing in or out, your hero for so long turned pale, cold to the touch. Blood is staining his face. And imagine running from the tomb after hearing the angel say, "The one you seek is not here. Go to Galilee." And sprinting, your heartbeat rushing, you encounter the risen Christ. Now, if we could just videotape record the reactions of those women. After having seen every cruel and harsh act done to Jesus, including seeing his death. And now, before their eyes, he is alive. You can imagine their emotions, shock, amazement, feeling baffled, confused, uncertain, doubtful. You can imagine them rubbing their eyes, see if their vision has been out of wrong. See if they pinch themselves, if they're dreaming, but they are not dreaming, and their vision is just fine. They have encountered the risen Christ. A beautiful moment. And it brings a smile to my eye that the first thing these women do, what they are compelled to do because of what they've seen and because of how their faith in following Jesus for so long has been rewarded, they get on their knees at Jesus' feet and they worship. And these women are changed forever. These situations I described, light in a dark room, sound out of silence, life out of death, they're total opposites. It's hard to convey the emotion they must have felt that day with such contrast of what they were feeling. Overwhelming. They were changed forever. And when Jesus encounters the disciples, they are never the same again. The question this morning to ponder in your hearts: have you encountered the living Christ? Christ risen. And did it change you forever? Has it shaped you? Has it molded you into what God wants to transform us all into? I remember when I was 7 years old, and my family and I moved from Denison, Texas, to Searcy, Arkansas. And I could really pinpoint that moment where I was never the same again. It's where I developed different friends in life. It's where my family and I found a church home and started flourishing in. My faith was developing. And it led to different decisions being made to the point where I'm standing here this morning. Many of you in this room can testify to different moments in your life where you were never the same again after that. Some of them good, some of them heartbreaking. Perhaps it was when you went off to college, a grand adventure out by yourself, trying to understand what you want to do with your life. Perhaps it was when you were pursuing your career and you met your spouse and later you had children. And you can think, how would my life be different if I had not explored that vocation? Or perhaps it is a heartbreaking moment where you were never the same again. Perhaps there are people in this room who've lost a child. Or you've seen your family members or close friends suffer with a debilitating disease. Or You know of a family where one of the spouses has had to go off to war, and the other one is left alone at home with the children. These experiences mark our life. They impact us. We can't help but be changed by them. My brothers and sisters, hear this morning. Our encounter with the living Christ must be the strongest way in which we are shaped, in which we are formed, in which we are molded into God's people. Because if we are, if we have that encounter with Christ, and if we are changed and never the same again, my word, our life is taken on a wild ride. We love. It shapes how you care. Shapes what you feel your purpose in life is. Shapes who you feel you are inside yourself and the decisions you make day to day. It's a powerful way in which you become different, changed. We can look at the lives of the disciples. Before the resurrection, you will recall, they abandoned, they rejected, betrayed. The guy they have been following for so long. In honesty, they were faithless cowards in Jesus' final moments. But something happens when they encounter the risen Christ. They are compelled in such a way that they must go and tell this good news to the ends of the earth. So they go from faithless cowards who feared death to apostles who are willing to risk it all. In fact, to be martyred, as so many were, and so many have been ever since. We often think, what was the change the disciples encountered? Well, they had this renewed strength and this renewed passion that was on fire. They couldn't help but go pass it to everyone they met. Couldn't help but ignore it because of the impact upon their hearts. Their hearts had been turned upside down from grief and pain and heartbreak and loss to victory, joy. Being in the midst of God's wonderful power. And then, once you witness the impossible becoming possible, you are never the same again. The disciples knew that God could work wonderful things through them. And they did that. They went out, they helped people, they shared. They were a unit. They banded together. And they trusted that God would work wonders through them. And finally, their faith became unshakable. Became unshakable. How do you explain the transformation of a person who is not willing to die for someone at one moment and is willing to give everything, including their life, for the mission? I think oftentimes when we think about the disciples, we become jealous. I wish I could have seen Jesus risen. It would make things a lot easier. But in terms of how you think of it, fortunately or unfortunately, there's a funny little thing that God loves, a little thing called fate. He loves when it's made real in our hearts. We believe, we act, we follow, because it's impacted us in a way where we can't help but not believe. We can't help but not be changed. Wonder. It's a marvelous wonder. And as we think about it, we have to have the same strength and passion as those first disciples. And God will give that to us. God is ready. God has been wanting to pour it out into our hearts. If we would just have that faith that the risen Christ is in our hearts. And if we can just believe that God can do wonders through us, it would be so. And God can give us unshakable faith. Faith that's willing to give its all. To give everything because the cause is too great. The mission is so large, but with God's grace, we can do it. What's a relief is that there's many people throughout the Christian history who have responded in their life just like those apostles, and they didn't get to be at that first Easter Sunday. I think about St. Francis of Assisi, who cast aside all of his wealth, all of his possessions, and sought to live with the poor and work there for the mission of God. I think about John Wesley, who traveled on horseback throughout the land, doing everything he could to preach the gospel. I think about Mother Teresa, who goes to the slums of Calcutta to help the sick and the dying. And I think of Dr. Martin Luther King, who gave his life to free his fellow brothers. We can be that too. When we encounter the risen Christ, we are never the same again. We can't be. We can't be. So as we leave this place, let us shout to the heavens, "Hallelujah!" in what we believe. That Christ is risen, that he dwells in our hearts, and we push forward with the mission of spreading that good news. In closing, I want to share with you something that was shared with me by a member of ours, Jane New, who told me of her 6-year-old daughter and her understanding of the resurrection. There were 3 childlike illustrations, and 6 words were the sum total of her understanding. The first picture was of a star shining over a simple stable with the words, "Jesus came." A curved line was used for a hill with 3 crosses at the top and the words, "Jesus died." Last, a stone was drawn beside a cave opening with 2 spring flowers And I kind of imagine it as Easter lilies. Alongside the words, Jesus lives. 6 words out of the mouth of a young child. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus lives. Professing the entirety of the Christian faith. What awe. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus lives. That's what our foundation is. God in Jesus Christ. So may we go forth, proclaim Christ is risen, and may we be the change where when we encounter people in our midst, they will never be the same again, just like we are, because of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Our closing hymn, as we are standing, will be Christ is Alive, hymn number 318. For those that you feel like this will be the first time where you encounter the risen Christ, or if you want to recommit your dedication to the risen Christ, come forward to our prayer altar. Let us be standing as we sing. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Oh man. Let's try that again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Go forth and live it out in word and deed. And let everyone who sees you know that you are a person who celebrates the risen Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.